From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You see, I'm a dad, and I have a great relationship with my wife and children. And when my children call me on the phone, they don't have to identify themselves. I know their voice. I mean, they don't have to say, hello, hello, Dad, this is Aaron, your son. He doesn't have to do that. Because I know what they sound like. I know exactly what they sound like because they always sound the same. Conversation starts the same. Dad, you got any extra cash I can borrow? Same thing. I know, it's my kids.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
You know, all of us want to hear God's voice, and the Bible tells us that God wants to communicate with us. Unfortunately, we don't always hear him when he speaks. He's sort of on the FM dial, and we're punching the scan button on the AM. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to help us learn to adjust our spiritual antenna so that we can hear God's voice when he speaks. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Can You Hear Me Now?
We all want to hear God. We want to know how he speaks. And that's what this series is about hearing the voice of God. How does he speak? Can we hear him? Does he still speak today? Well, if you would take out your notes that are in your bulletins, we want to have you follow along with us with some scriptures. Now, this is not to substitute the Bible, but rather just to bring expediency to our reading. And I'd like you to read out loud with me several scriptures so that you can hear what God is indeed saying. Now, beginning next week, we will be talking about the ways God speaks to us and how to hear him accurately. But today I want to talk about why it's so important just to hear him. Now, the Bible establishes the fact that God wants to communicate with us. He does communicate with us, but we don't often know how he communicates with us. That's our problem. We don't recognize how he's talking. At the top of our notes, let's read what Job 33 says. Now, would you read it in your most theatrical, basal, profundo voices that you can muster up? All right, ready? Go. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Would you underline, for God does speak? Notice that God is speaking. He is not silent. In fact, he speaks in many, many ways. However, it says, though man may not perceive it. You know, the problem is, it's not that God isn't speaking. Problem is our perception, though man may not perceive it. It's our perception. We just don't recognize how he's speaking. For example, right through this arena right now, there are hundreds and hundreds of frequency waves going through. There's radio waves, television waves, there's digital frequency waves going through this place, UHF, VHF, microwaves, all kinds. But if you're not tuned in to the right frequency, you won't be able to hear it. We'll only hear those frequencies that we've tuned into. So sometimes we kind of pick and choose what we want to hear. We kind of like it like that sometimes. As a story is told of a deaf grandfather that's on his last leg, he goes into the doctor and the doctor gets him some hearing aids and it restores his hearing 100%. The doctor is so excited. The grandfather goes home and a month later he comes back for a checkup. And the doctor said, you must be so excited and your family must be so excited that you got all your hearing back. The grandfather said, I haven't told them yet. They think I'm still deaf. What? He said, yeah, I just sit around and listen to conversations. He said, and I've changed my will 3 times already. Sometimes we just want to hear what we want to hear. But God wants us to tune into his frequencies. What kind of frequencies has he used in the past? Well, he's used prophets. He's used thunder. He's used lightning. God speaks through his creation. He even used the crowing of a rooster with Peter. And he even used a donkey with a man named Balaam. How often you will read through the Bible and you'll see, and God, these phrases, and God spoke to Abraham. And God spoke to Moses. And God spoke to David. God is a speaking God. Now, sometimes we're tuned into the wrong frequencies and we'll hear things we think is God, but it isn't. Because you see, in order to tune into his frequency, you have to know him and his character. And that's why it's so important to know God. Because otherwise, you'll tune into something and you'll say it's God when it isn't at all. And we'll say to everybody, yeah, I got it down. But it's completely off the other end. It's way over. Sort of like that another elderly man, he comes shuffling into the mall. And his friends are around the table and he said, hey, guys. He said, I got a new hearing aid. Now, this thing is space age. This thing cost me $4,000. And one of his friends said, wow, what kind is it? And the man said, 1230. Now, it's important not only to hear God, but to hear him accurately. And we'll be talking about that. But today we want to talk about why is it so important to just hear God. So I'm going to give you four ways, and would you write them in your notes? Number one, why is it so important to hear God? Number one, it shows that I am growing as part of his family. It shows me that I am growing as a part of his family. When I'm able to hear God and discern his voice, it's proof that I have a relationship with Christ and I'm a part of his family of believers. And isn't that what it's all about? To have a relationship with God? Because you see, God did not come to bring another religion. We got plenty of those. He didn't come to bring another philosophy. We got plenty of those. He came to repair a broken relationship with him. He came to bring a genuine relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, some people say, well, God's never spoken to me. Well, if God has never spoken to you, you've never heard his voice or can discern anything about him, you have serious reason to doubt that you've ever begun even a relationship with God. Oh, you might have gone to church, you might know about a religion, but you don't have a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we can remedy that. In fact, at the end of the service, I want to give you an opportunity to do exactly that, to begin to have a relationship with the Lord. Because Jesus came to repair a broken wire, as it were. Because when it's broken, there's no communication. The Lord has come to repair a broken relationship so that you know his voice. And that's what relationship's all about. Let's read this next scripture, and you'll see what I mean in John chapter 10. Let's read it out nice and loudly. Go. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And they will hear my voice. Underline, they will hear my voice. That's his promise. See, one of the ways that you know that you're a believer is that God talks to you. Now there's a myth out there that says God only speaks to super saints, like the Pope, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Elwin Ahu, you know, like that, in that order. And we say, well, God, you only speak to super saints. Not true. God wants to speak to every single one of his children. God wants to talk to you. That's what the cross is all about. And every single one of us need to hear his voice. Now, for example, about this relationship, when you have a relationship with God, you'll be able to hear him clearly. You see, I'm a dad, and I have a great relationship with my wife and children. And when my children call me on the phone, they don't have to identify themselves. I know their voice. I mean, they don't have to say, hello. Hello, Dad, this is Aaron, your son. Yes, your son. He doesn't have to do that. Because I know what they sound like. I know exactly what they sound like because they all sound the same. Conversation starts the same. Dad, you got any extra cash I can borrow? Same thing. I know, it's my kids. And my youngest daughter, Abby. I can say her name, Abby, in four different tones. And she knows exactly what I mean. Because of a relationship. And that's what God wants to bring to us. Now, if you're a new Christian, it may be harder for you at first to recognize his voice because it's not familiar yet. But I guarantee you, the longer you're a believer and the more you grow, the more you'll be able to say, that's God, that's not. This is God. No, what I'm hearing there, that's not God. Because you know his character. You know who he is. You know his voice. Why? Because you have a relationship with him. And that relationship is awfully critical. Without that, if it's separated, you won't be able to hear him. So it's proof that you're a growing part of his family. But number two, would you write down the other reason that it's important to hear God's voice is because he will warn me of impending dangers. He warns us of impending dangers. You see, if you will listen and heed what he's saying, God will warn you in advance and protect you from unnecessary mistakes. He promises that. In the Old Testament, he says, I will counsel you and guide you with my eye upon you, says the Lord. I will instruct you in the way that you should go. Only, he says, do not be as the mule or the horse which lack understanding, that requires a bit and a bridle to hold them in check, otherwise they'll not come near to you. What did God say? I will teach you and I will instruct you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You see, the Bible says that God wants to guide and instruct and warn us. And sometimes his warnings will get our attention. Let's read what it says here in Job 33. Go. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. Why? To turn man from wrongdoing, to keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Did you catch all those benefits of God speaking to us? He wants to help us out. He wants us to turn and go his way to keep us from making unnecessary mistakes. Has God ever spoken to you and kept you from a mistake? Oh man, I can give you hundreds of examples. Even in this church, when I'm at an impasse and I'm trying to make a decision about what we are to do as a church, which way to go in direction, and I'm thinking maybe, and the Lord will say, no, go this way. And I cannot tell you the devastating consequences that would have taken place had I gone the first way. But God, his word warns us of impending dangers. And in my personal life, he's done that. As an example, some years ago, Anna and I were going through a terrible time in our marriage. And I just didn't think I wanted to continue in that kind of relationship of stress. It was such a stressful time in our marriage. It wasn't my fault. And it was just horrible. And I just wanted to go away for a while. And she remembers this. I said, honey, I'm leaving for a while. I'm just going to go away by myself. Can I come? No, you're not coming. I'm going away by myself. And I went to the other side of the island, the Kona side, for 3 or so days, 4 days. And I just was embittered, my soul. I was struggling and wrestling. And you know, one night I was there by the ocean side and I was battling with this thought. And here was the thought. I thought, why put forth the effort to make this marriage work? I don't even know if I want to put forth this much effort, because it might be okay, but it's like pushing a train uphill. I just don't know if I want to put forth that much effort to make this marriage work. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hand. Don't look to the left or the right. Just look straight ahead. Yeah. And I know it wasn't your fault either, was it? No. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Here is my conclusion. This is what I'm hearing. I'm going to let her live her life, and I'm going to live mine. Never the twain shall meet. She can do whatever she wants to do. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that's it. That's how we're going to live. I thought, that's what I'm going to do. Packed up my stuff, and just as I was about to head out, I just heard the Lord say, you know what you just heard? That wasn't my voice. That wasn't me talking. And he spoke to me and changed some things. He said, what you have done is you've projected a past experience of someone else that has hurt you and betrayed you. And you've taken that because you've seen some similar things in this situation. And you've projected that person onto your wife. And this is what God said. She is not that person. You will not do that. She's your wife. And God, by his warning me, I tell you, if I would have gone the other way, my wife would never be able to live with herself having made me do such a terrible thing. She'd be such a puting. She'd be living on the street, maybe in a cardboard box behind Ross's. That's where she'd be today. I'd have to come and visit her, bring her food, you know, and stuff like that. But I look back on it now and thank you, God, for warning me. My whole life changed because of that. He changed me, turned me from my wrongdoing. Now, by the way, when I make jokes like that about my wife, you know it's really the other way around, don't you? Yeah, because she's so sweet. But it sort of like reminds me of this affluent corporate president. He's driving his luxury car with his wife. They're on vacation. They're visiting some relatives, and they stop by this old country gas station. And as the gas attendant comes out, he says, "Hey, fill my car." And he goes and uses the restroom. When he comes back, his wife is carrying on a conversation with a gas station attendant as if they were longtime friends. Well, she gets back in the car, and as he's driving away, he turns to his wife and says, "Did you know the guy?" She said, "Oh, yeah, by the way, we did know one another. In fact, we went to the same high school together." He said, "No way." "Yeah, and somewhat embarrassingly," she said, "and we were kind of high school sweethearts." And he laughed and he said, "I bet you're glad you didn't marry him. You married me instead. Because if you would have married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant rather than the wife of a corporate president." And she said, no, if I would have married him, he'd be a corporate president and you'd be a gas station attendant." So whatever I say about my wife, you know it's the other way around, all right? But he will warn us of impending dangers. Number two and number three, would you write down? It's the key to a productive life. That's why it's so important to hear God. It's the key to a productive life. And John 15 tells us that so succinctly. Let's read it together. Go. "For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do a little bit." No. "For apart from me, you can do some things." Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. You see, God is saying that to every single one of us. That's what maturity is. Learning to stay connected to God. But he says, if you're severed from the vine, you can do nothing. Oh, you look good for a while, but if you cut this off, you're like a cut flower. You look good for a while, smell good for a while, but you're about to die. And there's a lot of people in America that are cut flower lives. They look good for a while, have a nice fragrance, but they're going to die in the long run. And the Bible says, what caused that separation? The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, there's two definitions of death. One is death as a cessation of life, where life stops. And the other, the Bible definition of death, is a separation from life. The wages or the results of sin is death. Oh, you look good for a while, but you're about to die. But the Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. What? Will not perish, huh? Yeah, but have everlasting life. How? You got to connect back. Well, we can't. We need help in repairing that broken relationship. And that's what Jesus came to die for. The consequences of your sin and mine that separated us from Christ, from God. And so he came and he bore the price or the wages of sin, the result. He took it upon himself in order to repair a relationship between God and man. And that's what the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the Lord came to repair a broken relationship, to stay connected to him. So like that broken wire, we can now begin to hear him. And the scripture says that in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see, when we're connected back to him, it's the key to a productive life. A productive life. If you are separated, you'll not be able to produce anything. You'll have a non-productive life. Apart from him, you'll never be able to accomplish anything of eternal significance. And so would you write in that bullet there, the more I depend on God's leadings, the more productive my life will be. Because God wants to lead us. He wants to speak to us. But that relationship has to be repaired. So the more I depend on God's leadings, the more productive my life will be. And especially in a world where we're so busy, we've got things to do, places to go, people to see, and we're so busy, it feels like I don't have time for God anymore. Boy, that's a myth. I don't have time to go to church and hear what he's saying. Boy, that's a deception and a lie. In fact, Martin Luther said it this way. He said, I have so much to do today, I cannot spend my usual hour in prayer. I must spend three. What was he saying? I've got so much to do that I can't afford to make mistakes. I've got to hear what the commander is saying. I've got to hear what my Lord is saying so that I will not squander my hours. I've got so much to do today. I've got to get on my knees and I've got to hear what the Lord is saying so that I don't make mistakes. Because you see, the time you need him the most is the time when you're the busiest.
My trust and find my glory in the power of the cross.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been graced beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. Christ alone my glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed, and only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, Can You Hear Me Now? By Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.